Will Durst, for a long time, has been one of America's best political comedians, has been touring around in clubs and theaters all around the country, as well as producing material online for his own blog, willdurst.com, and also on the Huffington Post and other websites. He's now compiled some of those columns and some new writing into an ebook that is just available this week. It's called Elect to Laugh, a hilarious common sense guide to American politics 2012 edition. Will, nice to talk to you. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Paul Harris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well.
St. Louis, you guys still hanging in there in the wild card race there thing.
Yeah, it may come down to the wire, but the cards have a shot at it.
Hey, as you found out last year, it's all about September and October.
That's right. You don't have to be in the lead on Labor Day. You got to be in the lead in the last inning of the World Series.
No, that's right. All you got to do is win 11 games in October. Well, this year maybe more.
So the new ebook is out. It's $6 online, $5.95. Excuse me. Which 47% of the country is this targeted to?
Both 47%. And the other 6% as well. Man, he's a bad candidate. I mean, he's like electoral dysfunctional, isn't he?
When things like that happen, that's payday for you, isn't it?
It is. It is. But you got to remember that this year has been especially rife because the Republicans, for some reason, were playing a game of anybody but Romney. It was like Republican whack-a-mole. I mean, everybody had a lead at one time because they were just trying to find somebody who wasn't Romney. I mean, Palin led the polls. Trump, Bachman, Perry, Christie, Kaine, Gingrich, Santorum, they all led the polls at one time or another. And oh, okay, Mitt.
And do you think as all of them fell by the wayside and they ended up with him, that there are still some people in the GOP today who are going, let's keep looking. Has to be somebody else.
Yeah. This is a classic example of buyer's remorse. And you know, normally I try to be a bipartisan smartass. I really do. I try to take out both sides. But it was hard. It wasn't just me. Pat Robertson said that this field of Republican candidates was too extreme. Pat Robertson said that. It's like having your drug intervention hosted by Lindsay Lohan.
What's the last time Will Durst and Pat Robertson agreed on anything? Probably at the prayer meeting.
Actually, we both agree that God was trying to destroy New Orleans with Katrina.
So when you look at the way we stand now, and President Obama goes on Letterman last night and does a whole hour of that and comes off as, you know, this easygoing guy who can handle questions and speak off the cuff. And you have Romney who's saying, well, you know, what I said on that tape wasn't very elegantly stated. And after all, I was just speaking off the cuff. It's almost as if he's saying, please don't make me ad lib.
Well, he's, you know, he's got the same connection to regular guys as a bouillabaisse has to a Volkswagen drive shaft. You know, he went to that picnic and made fun of the lady because she had store-bought cookies. Yeah, yes, apparently she didn't have her own pastry chef. And then he went to the NASCAR thing. He said, well, I'm not an ardent fan, but I do know a couple of the owners. I don't think this walking around and touching people, I think it makes him feel icky.
You think there's a guy with Purell standing there? Yeah. Over here, Mr. Romney.
Every time. Quick, I can feel it sinking in.
It's a full shower. It's not just the hands. It's a full body. He's getting the Silkwood shower.
He probably gets into they get a shower in one of those vans, you know.
Now, on the Democrat side, would you have thought that this would be the year that Joe Biden would not be your league leader in gaffes?
No. I mean, you know, he's the world champion. They actually retired the trophy in his name.
Yeah.
He has put his foot in his mouth so many times that he actually flosses with his own shoelaces.
We don't see him very much, do we?
No, well, after the picture of him with the biker chick on his lap, you're not going to see much more of him He's going to disappear till the end of the campaign. I doubt if he even shows up for the VP candidate debate.
Well, I think he may have to there because Paul Ryan's going to be tough.
Paul Ryan is smart. He's got a lean and hungry look. He looks like Iago, you know.
Well, you know, there's some debate now about Paul Ryan, you know, Mr. P90X. I saw a thing this morning about how he can't possibly have 6 to 8% body fat like he claims. Even, you know, the Michael Phelps doesn't have body fat that low.
And I thought to myself, he claimed to have run a marathon in under 3 hours, which is like saying you hit 63 homers in a year. And then it turned out it was actually over 4 hours, which is like batting .237 off the bench in AAA. So.
But when it comes to that sort of thing, you know, does any of that really matter, Will? Can we give these guys a break when they're doing stuff like that? I mean, so what if his body fat percentage is not right?
Well, it's indicative of the character, don't you think? I mean, you know, especially the marathon thing and the body fat thing. I mean, that's such a, man, that's a macho, you know. And then it turns out, well, more than just a regular guy, you know, not one-tenth of the top one. You know, and it goes back to, and he said that the GM plant in Jamesville was closed by Obama. It happened in December of 08. Obama wasn't president in December of 08. Nobody was president in December of 08.
Nobody?
Nobody. You remember that time.
Yeah. The transitional period.
Already checked out.
Let's talk a little bit about the TV networks. I'm sure you're splitting your time between MSNBC and Fox News just because you like to have your head go rattling back and forth.
Yeah, spinning back and forth. And then now there's a station to the left of an MSNBC, a network called Current. Do you know of Current?
That's Al Gore's network.
It's Al Gore's network. It's the network that thought they could corral Keith Olbermann. And I love the fact Keith Olbermann, what he spent 6 years at ESPN, and then he spent 3 years at MSNBC, and I bet Current thought they could get 18 months out of him, you know, just by watching the half-life of his, and no, they got like 9 months out of him.
And he was over and done, and now they're basically simulcasting radio shows and putting on Jennifer Granholm at night. Oh, by the way, did you see the Jennifer Granholm dating game clip?
Oh, no.
She appeared on the dating game when she was 19 years old. She was very, very attractive, 19-year-old from British Columbia. She's Canadian, and she's on there, and there are these three guys who are just as goofy as you would have expected them to be to appear on
the dating game.
What? So, hold on. Stop the presses.
100 years ago. They don't have the tape, though. They didn't.
Oh, somebody has the tape, Will.
Oh, I had hair down to my shoulders. I was wearing an orange shirt and a white jacket and glasses.
Wait a second. How long have I known? I've known you 30 years. I've never known that you were on the dating game.
Yeah. The person who, because I was one of the three guys, and it was Miss Ghost America who was... And the other two guys, this was like 72, 73, the other two guys looked like Mark Spitz, you know, just hunks with mustaches. And then she turned them down and she picked me.
Really?
You could see her face fall. She sees me around the corner. You can almost hear a muffled, mmp.
Were you being funny?
Why I won, because I was funny.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the questions she asked you, those idiotic dating game questions?
Oh, no.
If we went out on a date and I ordered a salad, which vegetable in the salad would you be?
Brussels sprouts, because I'm continental.
Oh.
Yeah, Jennifer Granholm, you know, she went to high school, even though she was born in Vancouver, she went to high school in the Bay Area. And she was a classmate of the comedian Greg Proops.
Really?
Yeah. I was on her little show. It's called War Room.
Yes.
On Current TV.
Yeah.
And I was on with him. And they never mentioned the fact that they were roommates, which I thought was, I mean, not roommates, but classmates from high school, which I thought was odd.
Greg.
She's good. Did you see her convention speech?
Yeah, I thought she was fiery.
It was great. You know, he gets the car elevator and we get the shaft. You know.
Yeah.
I thought she took on the mantle of who was the Texas guy? Ann Richards. Remember Ann Richards?
Yes.
Yeah, he was. He finds him. He was born on third base and thought he hit a triple.
It's good. I thought that she was fiery and, well, you know, when you watched every minute of the conventions, because that's just going to be absolute fodder for you, right?
Yeah, I had to. It was so much fun. Chris Christie, who never mentioned as a candidate for 20 minutes.
No mention of Romney at all. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only got a couple of minutes left here. Tell me your thoughts on Clint Eastwood. Because earlier in the show, I played him appearing on Ellen DeGeneres' show yesterday.
Oh, did he explain what happened?
He said, roughly, he said, the Democrats thought I was senile, and the Republicans knew I was. And she said, you don't really care. And he said, no, I don't care at all.
I didn't think it was that bad. I don't know what people were so upset. I mean, it was an okay skit. You know, it was not for the Republican National Convention. Might have been better for the Every Which Way But Loose sequels rap party. But it wasn't that bad of a skit. You know, he just had a couple of stumbles in it. But
you know
what
happens
when you're doing improv?
As a stand-up comedian who gets up there and not only is doing prepared material but also ad-libbing his way through a lot of the night, you got to give this guy props because from all reports, including what he has said, he had not prepared anything. He saw a stool backstage, asked the guy, a stagehand, to bring it out. Stagehand probably thought Eastwood was going to sit down in it. And then he winged it for 12 minutes. Will, you're a professional. How tough is it to wing it for 12 minutes on stage?
Especially in front of a crowd, you know, of rabid Republicans and knowing that you're being watched by millions of people.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job. I just wish somebody had you know, licked their hand and touched down that shock of hair that was sticking up on top of him.
Well, he had a little bit of a problem with that.
Because obviously he had just woken from a nap.
But he's promoting this movie of his now, Trouble with the Curve, and he was on Ellen yesterday, and her audience loved him. And I really think this guy is just absolutely bulletproof. If he doesn't do another orangutan movie, it doesn't matter.
No, he is bulletproof. We love him in California, and he's an irascible old Republican, and we don't care.
How was he as a mayor?
He's actually, and I don't, I know there are some conservative listeners out there who might be disappointed to hear this, but he's pro-choice, and he's a heavy-duty environmentalist. Schwarzenegger appointed him to a commission. And Eastwood resigned the commission like 2 or 3 years in to protest a decision that the governor had made. You got to give this guy, I mean, he's got, as Bill Clinton would say, he's got brass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's very independent in everything he does. And like I said, when you're bulletproof, you can just do whatever you want. Yeah, I'm on the commission. No, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. He doesn't toe any party line. He toes the Eastwood line. And he just reminds me of my dad, you know? Damn it, Billy. Yeah, he just reminds me of my dad.
The new book is called Elect to Laugh. Tell my listeners how they can get this ebook for $5.95.
You can get it anywhere. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. There's a space, an e-space for authors called redroom.com. And they're the people who put the gig together, or Hyper Inc., which is the publisher.
And so, I've got a link to it also on my website, harrisonline.com.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
It's only $5.95, less than a bridge toll.
And it's a bunch of these columns that you've written over the years and new stuff that you've added, right?
New stuff, yeah, little quips and quotes and an election, you know, kind of noxious little notions.
Congratulations. I hope I've helped you sell 3 or 4 copies to the 47%ers.
Hey, buddy, good luck. Are you going to go out for the poker table?
I was at the World Series of Poker this summer, and we've got another poker tournament coming here this weekend. And
I hear Pollock is still in one of the tables. He hasn't been knocked out.
No, he got knocked out.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he got knocked out on day 5.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. I'm glad you keep up on this stuff. I keep up on it through you.
Kevin Pollock, of course. Did you guys work together in the San Francisco comedy clubs?
Oh, tons of the times. He actually ran a one-nighter in near his hometown in Los Gatos, California, the Cats. And he ran a one-nighter there. It was a hideous one-nighter because it was Monday night, and it was a night that the bar sponsored a baseball team. So they would come in afterwards drunk, wearing their uniforms, not pay any attention to the comedy. It was a hideous gig.
And now here he is, the guy from the dating game, Will Durst! I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Paul Harris, thanks a lot, man. Good luck, St. Louis. Good luck to the Cardinals.
Thank you very much. Political comedian Will Durst. Find him online at willdurst.com and get the